You want to just understand some truth about Jesus Christ, truth about who he is, God's love for us, the grace that God gave when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So interestingly today, a lot of people are living their life for things that do not satisfy. They've got their sports, they've got their pub, they've got their drinks, their drugs, their immorality, things like that. But it's empty. A lot of people, even unbelievers, will say to me, Ben, what's life all about? Well, life is all about knowing God, knowing Jesus Christ, knowing the power of God to change your life. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The greatest do-over you could do in life is to find Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus said about himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is not one of the ways that you can go to get to heaven. He's the only way. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior today, you don't have the life that God desires to give you, and that is eternal life. You have physical life, but the Bible says the wages of sin is death. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says, there is none righteous, no, not one. You might be a nice person today, a kind person, a helpful person, but I'll tell you this, you're not a good person because we've all sinned. Every single one of us has transgressed God's law. Every single one of us will stand before God and give an account for the things that we've done. Friend, are you ready for that day? Are you ready to stand before the God maybe that you don't believe in, that you've denied all your life and said that there is no God? Are you ready to stand before him? The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. Each one of us will have to give an account someday before a holy God, a God that is a righteous God, a God who has no sin in him, and confess the sins that we've done in our life. In fact, we won't even have to confess them. God will call his law and his record before him, and we'll give an account for everything that we've ever done in our life, including the things that we've said. The Bible says that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every single thing that we've ever said. Every time we've cursed God, every time we've taken God's name in vain, every time we've used ungodly, unkind, and mean speech or anything like that, the Bible says every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Friend, if we're going to give that kind of account for our words, we're going to give account to God for our actions. We live in a very immoral day, a day where Solomon has turned his back on God like never before. This was a Christian nation. This was a nation that feared God. This was a nation that sent more missionaries to any other place per capita probably than even England in its heyday when it was a mission-sending nation itself. And yet Scotland has turned its back on God so much that we legislate wickedness. We have politicians that are in office that are legislating wickedness and legislating positions against God. We live in a day where good is called evil and evil is called good. You know, we ought to stop, look, and listen, wake up, and begin to seek after God. The Bible says, if you seek me, you shall find me if you search with all your heart. Very few people today are doing anything to find God. See, the God that I'm speaking about this morning is not a God that's afar off. He's not a God that is distant. He's a God that is near. He's a God that's so near that you can download a Bible onto your phone on an app, and you can read the Bible, listen to the Bible. You've got access to the Scriptures like never before. But again, we live in a generation that has no desire whatsoever for God. Just think about how hard you work to drink, how hard you work to do your drugs or your immorality, your ungodliness or your sports. People fly to other nations to watch their sports team. They go to the pub, get drunk, abuse themselves, abuse others, and they do that all for their sin, but they do nothing to seek after God. Where's the generation that would begin to commend somebody for picking up a Bible? Instead of laughing at them, instead of mocking them, get their back and say, hey, good on you, trying to find something that's going to satisfy in life. Your friend, you can try everything, but it's empty. But Jesus Christ satisfies. Relationships don't satisfy, but Jesus does. Jobs don't satisfy, but Jesus does. Drugs and drink and sin and immorality do not satisfy, but Jesus does. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. No man comes unto the Father but by him. And again, I say to us today, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is no way that you're going to go to heaven when you die. You might want to go to heaven. You might hope to go to heaven. You might say, if there is a God, then I want to go to that place where God is and where sin is not. There's no death, sorrow, sickness, and those things. But without Jesus Christ, you cannot go there. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life. There's a lot of people today that, even if they are religious, and I'll say this, less than 2% of Scots are religious at all, but if they're in that 2%, the vast majority of that 2% even are not on their way to heaven, because they're trusting in their religion, they're trusting in their works, they're trusting in their goodness, they're trusting in the Christian, they're trusting in their baptism. But the Bible says there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's the way through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. It's only through the shed blood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sin, that we can be forgiven. The Bible says, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friend, Jesus Christ died for you. He made a way for you to get saved. He made a way for you to have hope. He made a way for you to have life. He made a way for you to have forgiveness. You know, that guilt that is on your heart, that you lay your head on your pillow at night and you wonder about your life. Why is my life like this? Why is it messed up? Why is there guilt? Why is there burdens that are there in my life? God can take that away through the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for the power of the blood. Jesus Christ wants to give you everlasting life. Jesus Christ desires that. God the Father desires that so much so that He took His Son, His only Son, His only begotten Son, His beloved Son, Jesus, and He put Him on a cross for you. And I'll tell you this today, yes, the cross was painful, and yes, it was shameful, but the worst thing about the cross was when God the Father turned His back on God the Son, and Jesus cried out, saying, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? The Son of God was God-forsaken on the cross because of your sin. Anybody that dies today and goes to hell knows what it's like to be God-forsaken. But I'll tell you this, in this life, you do not know what it's like to be God-forsaken. Today, you've got the blessing of God. You've got the air that God's given you to breathe. He's given you the health that you have. He's given you the food that's on your table. He's given you the job that you have, the relationships that you have. God has been good to you, my friend, and He's done all that. But I'll tell you this, when somebody dies and they go to hell, they lose everything because God is not there. There's only one place God is not, and that's in hell. The Bible says about hell, it's everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. Friend, God doesn't want you to go there. He wants you to have His gift of everlasting life. He wants you to know the mercy of God. He wants you to know the grace of God. He wants you to know His forgiveness. He wants to take that sin away. He wants to take you to heaven to be with Him eternally. It's only your will and your heart against God that is going to condemn you and damn you on that day when you stand before God. And you're going to remember that time that you heard the gospel, that Jesus died for you, that He paid the price for your sin, that He rose from the dead, that He offers you everlasting life, that you can have it by faith, that you'll just turn from your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. But on that day, I think one of the worst things about hell is going to be the regret that people have, because there's no do-overs after somebody dies. It's appointed unto them once to die, but after that, the judgment. Friend, are you ready to give an account to God? Parents, are you ready for your children to stand before God? You care about their soul? You care about their eternity? You care about their life? We've got parents today that don't care that in the public schools they're teaching our kids sexual sin from the time that they are in infancy up to their learning years. They're teaching them immorality. Their social media is defiling their hearts. Their ungodly viewing habits are defiling their hearts. Where are some parents today that care about their kids, that want to protect their kids, that would have the courage to say, you know what, everybody else has a device, but you don't have to have a device. I'm going to teach you to play outside, to do some things that are fun. In fact, as a family, we're going to start to read the Bible together, begin to learn about God together, and start with that first verse in the Bible that is the foundation of all knowledge, that verse that says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Friend, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth His handiwork. So everything that you see testifies that there is a God. I bought a new car recently. As I drive it, I don't think an explosion made it. I don't think an explosion in the paint factory painted it. I look at it, I see design, I see somebody that made it and created it, and it's got power, and if without that power it doesn't move. Listen, evolution cannot explain the incredible work that God did when God designed us. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Friend, you're not an accident of an explosion. You're a created being that God made, the Bible says, in His image. We are not animals. We wear clothes. We have judicial systems. We have police. We have education. We have science. We have medicine. We are not animals. We're not even close to animals. We have the same skeletal structure because we have the same Creator that designed us to walk upright on our feet. Animals do not bring forth after different times. They bring forth after their kind, just like the Scripture says. All that ought to make us stop and pause and look up and say there's got to be a God. Friend, when people take God's name in vain, whose name do they use? They don't say, oh, Muhammad, oh, Hare Krishna, oh, the Pope, or anything like that. But they take the name of Jesus Christ and Lord. And I'll tell you this, this Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is God. He is the Creator, Designer. The Bible says without Him was not anything made that was made. We've got false Jehovah's Witnesses today that say that Jesus Christ is not God. Jesus Christ is eternal. He said before Abraham was, I am. Jesus Christ is worship. You can't bow down or worship anybody other than God. Jesus Christ forgives sins. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus Christ is the judge. The Bible says that God is the judge. I'll tell you this. The Savior is God in the flesh. He is what the Bible speaks about in the Word of God when it says Emmanuel, God with us. And He came to this earth and He died on the cross for our sins. Friend, it's amazing that God loves us so much that He came to die for us. Friend, He made a way for you to be forgiven. He made a way for you to have everlasting life. You've got to have peace in your heart today. You can know for sure that there is a God. And I'll tell you this, an evolutionist could look at me and say, Ben, there is no God, there is no God, there is no God. But that's really hard for me to stomach, and I'll tell you why. Because the Bible says, taste and you'll see that the Lord is good. I do not think there is a God today. I do not hope that there is a God today. I know that there is a God today because I have Jesus Christ in my heart as my Lord and as my Savior. Friend, do you have that? You can have that. You can know for sure today that when you die, you're on your way to heaven. You can give that hope to your family as well at your funeral, that they have something better to say than they were a great sports fan or they were this or that. And those things that at a funeral are just so empty. The best thing you could give at your funeral to your family is the truth that you're born again, that you have everlasting life, that Jesus Christ is in your heart. Well, friend, do you know the Jesus that I'm speaking about? Do you know Him in a personal way? Do you know the Son of God who lived 2,000 years ago on this earth, who physically went to the cross and died for you, who didn't stay in the grave, but by the grace of God rose from the dead? He took back His life. He has the power through His death to forgive us of our sins. He has the power through His eternal life to give us that gift of everlasting life. Jesus Christ does not just give us life. Jesus Christ is life. And friend, if you've got Jesus Christ in your heart, you have what you need when you stand before God to give an account for your life. Friend, each one of us is going to face that day. Doesn't matter today. If somebody's an atheist, God does not disappear because somebody says, I don't believe in you. Just because somebody closes their eyes, closes their ears, and turns their mind up to try to think that all this just happened, that this was all just a product of some random chance. It doesn't matter if somebody does that today. God does not disappear. Friend, you can say to me today, well, Ben, you know, I can't see God. Well, listen, friend, you can't see gravity. You can't see the wind. But you can see the power of the wind. You can see the power of gravity. I'll tell you this, when you look at this earth, you can see the power of God. When you split an atom, you've got an atom bomb. Just think about that. You're splitting this very finite thing, and yet the power within that is incredible power. Who put that power there? You say, well, I believe science. Who gave us the laws of science? Who made science? Who developed science? Who gave us those laws about reproduction? Who gave us those laws about the circulatory system or the water cycle or things like that? Friend, that is God. God designed that. God made that. And all of it is to testify to us to say that there is a God. You know, the Bible speaks about genetics. The Bible says, in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned with us. And there was none of them. It's saying that the blueprint for our life is there at our conception. That's why a baby is a baby and not a fetus. There is life that is in the womb. That is a precious life. That is a precious child. Why? Because God made that child. God made them. The Bible says male and female created He them. God gave us our gender. God also made marriage between one man and one woman. He said, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. That was God's plan. God did that. Man doesn't get to rewrite the rules in our day and say, right, you know, we're going to change this thing about gender. We're going to change this thing about marriage. We're going to change this thing about creation. No, no, no. God is the one that makes the rules. God is the one that gave us His Word. God is the one that says, thus saith the Lord. He has the power to work in the heart of anybody today. There could be people today that think, out there, there's no way. I'd never come to faith in God. Well, friend, there was a guy in the Bible, his name was the Apostle Paul, but before he got saved, his name was Saul. And Saul would take Christians, he would put them into prison, and he would put them to death. And he would give his voice against them. But that man, confronted by Jesus Christ, became one of the greatest followers of Jesus Christ ever. And he said this. He said, I was saved by the mercy and the grace of God so that others could look at my life and say, if Saul can get saved, so can I. Friend, if a man that murdered Christians and hated Christ could be born again, receiving the forgiveness of God, receiving the mercy of God, coming to faith in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, I would tell you this today. It doesn't matter if you're an atheist, it doesn't matter if you're Buddhist, it doesn't matter if you're Muslim, it doesn't matter if you're against God and against Jesus Christ, I'll tell you this. Jesus Christ can absolutely save you by the power of his shed blood, because what he did on Calvary is sufficient for you. Friend, is sufficient for everybody that's out here. You know, one of the saddest things to me today is that salvation is for everybody. Anybody can get saved, but again, the vast majority of people in our world are taking step by step walking towards hell. Friend, you don't have to keep going down that path. The Bible says, wide is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in there at narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. Few there be that find it. It's a very sad thing today in the pride of the human heart. We go, oh, I don't need God. I've got my money, I've got my health, I've got my relationships. But I'll tell you this. There comes a day where money fails, where wealth fails, where relationships fail, where health fails. And I'll tell you this, it's very sad to think that we've got to get to that place where we're down and out before we stop and look up to God and begin to thank God for what we have. People can say to me today, Ben, being an atheist, I'm a good atheist or whatever, but I'll just tell you this about an atheist. An atheist is somebody that never thanks God for their food, never thanks God for their family, never thanks God for what he's done in their life, all the good things that he's given. They live as if there is no creator, no designer, never offering any thanks to him, and certainly never thanking him for sending his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for their sin. Friend, the punishment for our sin is death. The punishment for our sin is hell. And the Bible says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and the dead were judged out of the books according to their works. Friend, are you ready for that day to give an account to God for everything that you've ever thought, said, or done that is against God? Friend, we're breaking God's law all the time. We live again in a very ungodly time in human society. We live in a very wicked generation. If you want to read about it in the Bible, go back to the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, the thoughts of men's heart was only evil continually. We live in an immoral society. If you're not practicing adultery, you're probably watching adultery on the television. You're probably viewing pornography. You're letting your children view pornography. You're letting the hearts of your kids be adulterated. Again, we live in a sexually perverse society. Read the Bible and what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah. Read the scriptures about the wrath of God falling on a city that was ungodly against him, sparing those that were saved in that community. And in that community, there were only four righteous people left. And God took them out of that city, and God destroyed that city with fire. Friend, read the scriptures in the book of Revelation. The day of judgment is coming. Global warming is not little by little. Global warming is the destruction of this earth by the wrath of Almighty God against the ungodliness in the human heart that has turned its back on the Savior, turned its back on the God of love, mercy, grace, and truth, taking this book, torn it up, thrown it under the bus, acting as if there is no God. Friend, we need to wake up as a nation. Oh, for a nation that would get on their knees when COVID happened, we did everything but pray. When COVID happened, I mean, look, everyone went incredible lengths to stop a disease that was spreading. But the worst disease that we've got in Scotland is not COVID back when it was bad. What it is sin. And if you think about it, the thing that is hurting even our NHS more than anything and our policing more than anything is not the COVID pandemic. It is drunkenness. It is alcohol. And Scott, you can laugh about it. You can say, oh, you know, everybody goes to the pub. That's just the way it is. It's part of our culture. We got the whiskey trail. We bow down to alcohol here in Scotland. Or we can look at it and say it's a blight on our society. It is sin. It is ungodly. It is against God. We've got more pubs in our villages than we've got churches. In fact, we've got so many pubs that have taken over the premises of churches. But we gotta look at that and say, what kind of a society do we live in? We have put God out. We have set alcohol up. We have set drugs up. We have set pornography and adultery and fornication up. We live in a fornicating society. The vast majority of people today are not married. They're living with somebody that's not their spouse. That used to be shameful. That used to be embarrassing to have a child out of wedlock. But in our day, we accept that as being commonplace, and yet it's a great sin against God. The Bible says marriage is honorable in all, in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Friend, we live in a fornicating society, and we're not embarrassed about that, but we're embarrassed to think about God. We're embarrassed to think about the Bible. We are ashamed of somebody that would say anything godly or say anything in the fear of God. We would laugh at that. We would blush at that. But we don't blush about our sin. We're not ashamed. But that's a scary position to be in. That's like everybody being criminals and nobody cares. Everybody living ungodly and the society just goes, oh, hey, you know, that's the way it is. We have a crisis with our kids and ungodliness like never before, and our prisons are full, and we're asking ourselves the question, what do we do? Well, the answer is get back to God. Get back to the Word of God. Get back to the truth of God. Begin to read the Bible and to understand that there is a God in heaven that loves you, but that God hates sin because sin separates us from Him. Friend, what has taken place is that those things that you love, that you hold on to, you say in your life, where is God? If there is a God, why is my life so miserable? Why doesn't God have anything to do with me? God cannot fellowship with sin. God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. Read the scriptures. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, their sin separated them from God. God had to kill an animal, take the clothing from that animal to clothe Adam and Eve in the naked shame of their sins so that they could be restored to a right relationship with God. That animal in the Garden of Eden was a picture of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that would die on the cross for our sin. Again, friend, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for you. When He died, He knew about you in His heart. He knew about you and what you would do against God. And He took your sin upon Him on the cross. The Bible says 600 years before Jesus Christ went to the cross, in the book of Isaiah, it says He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace is upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. 1,000 years before the cross, it says about Jesus, they pierced His hands and His feet. Psalm 22. They cast lots upon His vesture. It's written by King David. 1,000 years before Jesus Christ died, the scripture said exactly what would take place, that the Son of God, Jesus, would die on the cross for our sin. Friend, only God could do that. Only God could write before it takes place what would happen. Do you know this Bible says in the book of Romans that a society that gives itself to idolatry and turns its back on God is going to be characterized by the sin of homosexuality? It speaks about men with men doing that which is unseemly, women with women the same. It said that 2,000 years ago in the book of Romans. Do you know what we find in our society? That the number one news story with regard to immorality is homosexuality and lesbianism? That's what the Word of God said 2,000 years before it took place. You know, the Bible spoke about Israel coming back into the land, that they would resume that place, that they would be there in that land again. Do you know that they're the only nation that's been dispersed, that has kept their national identity, and that have returned to the land? And just like the Word of God speaks about. And I say that today to say to us, this book is true. It is true from beginning to end. It is the Word of God. If you want to know today the future, look at this book. Read the book of Revelation. It says that in the end times, there's going to be a one world government. There's going to be a one world economy. There's going to be a one world religion. You know what we find today? It's happening. The Bible speaks there's going to be something in their hand, the mark of the beast. It's going to be in their forehead. You know what we know today? There are chips that they're implanting in people under their skin so that it identifies them, and with it they can buy and sell. And the Bible spoke about it before it ever took place. You can read it yourself. It's in the book of Revelation. Again, friend, all of that ought to give us pause and stop to think there's got to be a God. Only God could give us a book. 66 books, 44 human authors, written over 1,500 years. It's outsold every book every year. It's been accepted as the Word of God. The printing press was made to print Bibles, and all of that ought to speak to our hearts today and say there's got to be a God. There's got to be a God. Friend, there is a God today. And He loves you and He cares about you. And again, the greatest thing that He ever did to show that love was the greatest thing He could possibly do. He took His Son, His only Son, Jesus Christ, and He put Him on a cross for your sin. Friend, I encourage you today, give God some time. Don't be one that says, Ben, I just don't have time. I work 24/7. I got all this stuff going on in my life. I'll tell you this. You take time for what's important to you. You take time for your sports, you take time for your internet, you take time for your social media, you take time for the pub, you take time for whatever is important to you, you take time for it. I'll tell you that if you don't take time for God, God is not important to you. But that's like turning your back on a million pounds. That's like turning your back on the greatest thing that somebody could possibly give you in life. Worse than that, it's like turning your back on the Savior when you're drowning. It's like being the first support going down with your ship and somebody being there to say, hey, I'll save you, I'll rescue you. You go, no, I think I'm fine. Or I like my life like this. Friend, it's no fun to be on a boat that's on its way to hell. It's no fun to be on a life that you could say, well, it's a good life, I like my life, and things like that. But I'll tell you, if you've got 70 years, you've got 80 years, you've got 90 years, at some point, you're going to die and you're going to stand before God. And friend, if you're not ready for that day, you're not ready for life. Because that's eternal life. And if you die without Christ, you don't have it. Jesus came that He could give us life and give it to us abundantly. He did not come to condemn this world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He came to make a way for us to be born again and to receive God's mercy and to receive God's forgiveness. But do you have Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there ever been a time in your life when you humbled your heart and you confessed to God, God, it's true what your word says about me, I'm a sinner. You know, we cannot justify ourselves before God. A lot of people today are seeking self-justification. They want social media, they want educators, they want the government to give their back and to come out and say, their sin is okay. Well, I'll tell you this, friend. It doesn't matter how many people say, your sin is okay, your sin is okay, or for you to say, my sin is okay, nothing we can do changes the fact that we're going to stand before a holy God and not give an account to Him based on what the SNC or Labor government or any other legislature does. It doesn't matter what the scientists say, it doesn't matter what the educators say, what does matter is what does God say, and this book is unchanging. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in the heavens. Jesus said, I didn't come to take away the law. I came to fulfill the law. Jesus Christ did not diminish the law. He uplifted the law. He said, if you look at a woman to lust at her, you committed adultery with her already in your heart. He said, if you hate somebody, that is the sin of murder, where the Ten Commandments just said, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not commit murder. Friend, we're going to give an account to that judge, Jesus Christ. Friend, you're going to face Jesus someday. The Bible says that every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It would be far better in this life to humble out and to confess your sin and forsake your sin and receive the forgiveness and the mercy and the grace of God that God desires to give, rather than to pass up the pardon that God desires you to give you, to be sentenced to eternity in a lake of fire, to hear those words that God would say, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." God did not create hell for man. God created hell for Lucifer. That angel that said, I will be, I'll tell you this, the sin of Lucifer is the sin of this nation, it's the sin of our generation, it's the sin of pride. Isn't it interesting that the number one sin in the face of Almighty God identifies itself as pride? The Bible says, "These six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto him," and it begins with this, a proud look. Why is pride so sinful? Pride says, "I don't need God." Pride says, I will, and God, it doesn't matter to me what you say. Pride rejects God. Humility bows its heart before God and says, "God, I don't understand why you love me so much that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sin, but I repent of my sin and I put my faith in Jesus and what he did." You know, God to that person gives mercy. God to that person gives everlasting life. Friends, salvation is easy, but it's hard from our sin standpoint. It's easy in that it's a gift. It's not anything that you have to earn. It's not becoming religious. It's not doing a bunch of good things. It's trusting in what God said about your sin and what God said about the Savior. What Jesus Christ did as he died on the cross for you. Friends, salvation is by faith. It's not by works. A lot of people today might think, "Well, I was done for when I was a child. You know, I went to that christening. The minister there sprinkled that water on my head, and somehow there's that thought in your heart that, well, if there is a God, that's going to get me to heaven." Friend, it won't. The Bible says, "By the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight." It is not christening. It is not baptism. It's not religion. It's not anything that you can do. It's only through Jesus Christ and what he did when he died on the cross for our sin and by looking at the Savior and putting your faith in him. Friend, that takes humility. A lot of people today, they're more afraid of their mates than they are of God. They're afraid of what their peers would say if they got religious, if they started to read a Bible, if they went to church. They're afraid about what those people would say. Now just think about this, that the same people, if you went and got drunk, they pat you on the back. If you say curse words, they pat you on the back. If you're immoral, they pat you on the back. I just say, what kind of friends are those? They want you to wreck your life and be an immoral, ungodly, indecent person. Listen, nobody needs friends like that. Don't go to hell because of what somebody like that would think about you if you picked up a Bible, began to read it, and began to think about God. Be better to encourage somebody. Pick up a Bible. Begin to read it about God. Begin to read God's Word, what God says about marriage, what God says about gender, what God says about life, what God says about sin and truth and righteousness, and begin to have a morally upright life. Do you think today, just in common sense, that we would build up the family? That we look around and scientists would go, "Hey, you know, I just figured out the family's the most important building block there in society. And so what I think is that men and women should get married, have children, and form a strong family unit. And that would be ideal." Science says that, but those that say, "I believe science," they reject science about the family. They reject science about male and female. They reject science about marriage. They reject science about life in the womb. But then they say, "But I believe science, and therefore I reject God." Listen, the God that gave us science is the God that gave us life. You could ask an evolutionist that question. Where does life come from? And they're going to struggle with that. Why? Because science is observable. And so we look at science, and what does science say? Science says that life comes from life. You know, the Bible is an answer to where life comes from. It's found in the first verse of the first book of the Bible, Genesis 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Then it goes on to say about how God made man in his image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. You know, kids that are having an identity crisis, and people are going, why is there such an identity crisis? I'll tell you the reason. Because we're sowing confusion in the hearts of a child. We're telling them there is no such thing as male and female. We're telling them there is no such thing as marriage between a man and a woman and a covenant relationship for life. And we're wondering why so many young people today are having an identity crisis. Friend, it's time to get back to the Bible. It's time to look at what God says in the manual for life. You know, our church is right by IKEA. I would never go to IKEA and try to put back something flat packed together without the manual, without the instructions. But there are people today seeking to put their life together without the Word of God, the manual that God gave us that testifies to us everything that there is to know about our life. Friend, is that you today? Are you walking through your life like there is no God? Is the only time that you use God's name a curse word? Very sadly today, young people are growing up where they're not taught to fear God. They're not taught about authority. They're not taught about obeying God's law and about sin, about righteousness and judgment. All they're taught is kind of be whatever you want to be, and you're basically good, and just try to be good. And we've got them lighting things on fire. We've got them drinking. We've got them doing drugs. We've got them immoral. You know, there are some people that look at that and say, we've got a crisis in the minds of our young people today. How did we get here? Because we turned away from the absolute authority of the truth of the Word of God, and we thought humanism was the answer instead of Christianity. Friend, Christianity is the answer. It's following Christ. It's those that obey God, those that please God, those that fear God. You want to find a strong family? Find a Christian family. Find a family that are living in the fear of God and teaching obedience and teaching respect and teaching to follow authorities and to guard your life from sin and to protect yourself from immorality, protect yourself from the wickedness that's out there. Again, you want to know where our society is. Look at the ungodliness that is on the phones of our children. Look at the immorality that they're viewing. The ungodliness that's there. And it just identifies the fact that we have a crisis that is taking place in Scotland. And then listen to them speak. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so the profanity that's coming out, the hate that's coming out, the bitterness that's coming out, the ungodliness that is coming out of their mouth, what needs to change is the fountain in the heart of those young people. How do we do that? We do that through the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the Bible says about Jesus. It says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Friend, your sin that you cherish, put Jesus Christ on the cross. And if you don't repent of it, it's a thing that is going to condemn you and it's going to take you to hell. But it's the idol in your life that you bow down to. Other people don't know about it, but you might be in deep gambling debt. Thinking a piece of paper or some money is going to somehow satisfy the needs that are in your life. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, from which some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Friends, you don't have to go down a path like that. God made a way for you to be forgiven. God made a way for you to be set free. There are other people that are living your life. They're working so hard so that they can drink on the weekend. But that drink is not satisfying them. They have to go again and again and again. And maybe it doesn't quite give them the buzz. And so they turn to drugs. And they turn to tougher and tougher drugs. And their brain is being wrecked. And their health is being wrecked. And their finances are being wrecked. Why? Because of their sin. Friend, the Bible says that sin brings forth death. Every sin that we commit, it destroys relationships, it destroys our health, it hurts our finance. Gambling, drugs, drink, immorality, all those things hurt you, they hurt your family, they hurt your relationships, and yet you cherish those things. You hold on to those things. You act as if those things are the things that are your God, and you bow down to that, that club scene and that social media and those things, and they're destroying you from the inside out, and God wants to change that through His Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for you so that you could be forgiven. God desires to give you something that is incredibly valuable. You can't afford it. There's nothing you can give to God for your soul. Listen, friend, the Bible says if you become the wealthiest person in the world, if you become really prosperous, so what? Because someday you're going to stand before God and you're not going to be able to say to God, God, here, I will give this to get my soul out of hell. Finances are nothing in eternity. Somebody could be Donald Trump, they could be Elon Musk, they could have power, prestige, and money. And it doesn't matter if they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. When they die as if they're a pauper and they go to hell. Friend, don't go down that path. Don't live your life for things and think, man, that's going to do it. That's going to satisfy me. Don't live your life for popularity or prestige or things like that. That's empty. But I'll tell you this, if you live your life for Christ, it satisfies. Again, the Bible says those words. It says, taste and you'll see that the Lord is good. Well, friend, God is good. God is gracious. He is merciful. He's forgiving. You know, very sadly to me, an atheist is somebody that says, there is no God, but if there is a God, I hate him. If there is a God, I despise him. It's very sad to me. They won't say to God, God, thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you for the other. But they say, if there is a God, then I blame God. Listen, friend, if we got what we deserve today, we get eternity in a lake of fire. The wages of sin is death. Again, I saw the dead fall in great stand before God. And the Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and that is the wages of our sin. Friend, just like you expect to be paid if you're working, and you say to your employer, give me what I deserve, give me my wages. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death. You might never have thought to before about why did Jesus die. Jesus died so that you don't have to go to hell. Jesus died so that you could be forgiven. Jesus died to make a way for you to have God's gift of everlasting life. Jesus died to give you, as a parent, the guidance that you need to guide your children and to encourage them in the things of God and to teach them truth and to teach them holiness. Very sadly today, the vast majority of parents in Scotland are not teaching their kids anything about God. Our e-class in school that used to maybe teach a little bit about Christianity. It's all about other religions, and Christianity has been pushed out of the minds and the hearts of our children. Our children are being raised as godless as their parents, and it's time to stop that trend here in Scotland and begin to teach our young people that there is a God that loves them, that in His mercy sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for them so that they could be forgiven. Friend, God wants you to have His gift. His gift is everlasting life. His gift is forgiveness. Friend, you can have it. You might say, yes, then you don't understand. If I came to church liking the stripes, you know, and it would just all fall apart, I'll tell you this. There's no better person to come to faith in Jesus than somebody that's life is messed up. They know it's messed up. They're in sin, but they recognize that they have a need, and they turn in faith to Jesus Christ and get saved. Again, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God is the greatest one to give you a restart in life, to give you hope in life, a purpose in life, and help in life. You might look at your life and say, man, you don't know me, and I'm desperate, and I'm thinking about suicide, I'm thinking about taking my life, and I may even have the instrument of death there at my house, and I've been contemplating it. I'll tell you this, friend, there is hope because there's God. There is peace that is found in Jesus that cannot be found at the end of a bottle or in a drug or in a relationship. It is peace that satisfies and meets the need that is there in your life. I'll tell you this about Jesus. The Bible calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. He's the one that can give you peace. If any desire to do that, again, very sadly today, so many people are just like those that stood outside the walls of Jerusalem when Jesus Christ was being crucified. Just like that, they mocked the Savior. They stand at the cross and they say, if you be who you say you are, come down from the cross. And yet Jesus Christ on that cross was dying for their sin. You know, it's very sad to me today. There are a lot of people that mock Jesus. They laugh at Jesus. They laugh at hell. You know, it'd be like people going down into London on the anniversary of the burning of the tower and laughing at the 70 people that lost their life, laughing as they looked in the windows and they saw those people burning there, mocking them. We'd look at somebody like that and say, what kind of a person are you that you can despise those that are suffering? I'll tell you this, if you laugh at hell, You're laughing at the people that are burning in hell today. Even some of your relatives or some of your friends or some of your family that died without Christ that are in hell. If you laugh about hell, you're laughing at them. Hell's nothing to laugh at. It's a place we'll pay eternally for our sin. The Savior Jesus Christ came to die to give us His gift of everlasting life. There's a lot of people that smirk about Jesus. They laugh about Jesus. They laugh about the cross. The Son of God was stripped naked and abused and treated as if He was ungodly when He, as the perfect and holy Son of God, died on the cross for our sin. Friend, we ought to marvel at that. We ought to be amazed that God would love us so much that His Son, Jesus, would do that for us. And yet, that's exactly what the Son of God did. The Bible says, He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God made a way for you to be forgiven through His shed blood of His Son. He took His Son, His only Son, Jesus. He crucified Him. He took your sin, put it upon Jesus. The Bible says He took the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, and He nailed it to His cross. Jesus Christ died as if He was guilty of our sin. He made a way for us to be forgiven. And friend, again, you might think, well, I bet there's no way I can ever come to faith in God. No, praise God. I've met people just like you that have come to faith in Jesus. People that would have said, there's no way a year from now I'll be in church, reading the Bible, get baptized, you know, as a follower of Jesus Christ. I would never do that, they think. But I'll tell you this, they got saved because of the mercy of God. God knocked on their heart's door and they answered. The Bible says about Jesus, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. There's plenty of people today, again, that would testify and say, you know what, I was just where you are. I was an atheist, I was a Buddhist, I was in immorality, I was in ungodliness, I was in drunkenness, I was in drugs, but I found Jesus Christ as my Savior, and God set me free from a life of unbelief. God set me free from the drugs, the drink, and the alcohol, and the things that were there in my life. I love this story from 100 years ago here in Edinburgh of the Redeemed Drunkard Band being out in the streets testifying of what God did in their life. And the newspaper in Edinburgh wrote these words. A religion that can make drunkards into good fathers and loving husbands is a religion worth having. Friend, that was just 100 years ago here in Edinburgh. How far we've come from those days. The vast majority of people passing this point do not know somebody that's born again, somebody that has God's eternal life in them. And it's regrettable to me as a minister because I can't put 100 people out here in front of you and say, look at what God has done in their life. But I'll tell you this, even though you can't see those examples, that's exactly what God can do. God can take a sinner and make him a saint. God can take somebody that is down and out, lift them up, make them exactly who he desires to be, but they have to come to him and say, a friend, to come to God in faith, we've got to confess our sin. We can't defend our sin. We can't justify our sin. We can't say it's okay that I lie. We can't say it's okay that I'm immoral. We can't say it's okay that I'm doing ungodly deeds and I'm a thief or I'm a drug addict or something like that. We've got to be honest about our lives. I'm a liar, covetous, materialistic, luster, atheistic. I turn my back on God, but I repent of that and I put my faith in Jesus Christ. And friend, if somebody will do that, God in His mercy will give you everlasting life. God has the power to do that. God has the power to set you free. It's the power to change you, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. God can change you internally because that's where he works. That's what he has the power to do. If you see somebody after they're born again, you see somebody that you look at and you say, I don't get it. I knew you before you got saved. You're profane. You're ungodly. You're wicked. You had all these things in your life. You're against God. But now I see the joy that's in your life and the heart that you have for God. And I recognize that as being distinctly different. Friend, what happened? They were born again. Jesus looked at a religious man that was a religious leader and he said to him these words. He said, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he'll no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Friend, you could be religious today but not born again. You can be somebody that's been Christian but not born again. And friend, without being born again, without trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior again, you're not ready to die. The Bible says about our eternity, it says this, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God, Jesus, hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life. And you might be religious today, but if you're honest about it, I said to you, you know, are you 100% sure that if you die, you go to heaven? You'd have to be honest and say, you know, Ben, you know, I'm not. I don't know about that. But that scripture that I just quoted in 1 John chapter 5 says that you may know that you have everlasting life. Friend, if you don't know that you have it, I doubt that you do. If you don't know that you have it, then come to the Word of God. Pick up the Bible. Begin to read it. I'll tell you this. In the book of John, it says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life to his name. God desires to bring you to faith. But you've got to have the humility to pick up a Bible. And then seek a good church, a church that preaches the Word of God and declares the truth with authority, not embarrassed and trying to bow down and kiss the feet of politicians or social media or things like that, that stands with the Bible about what it says about marriage, about what it says about gender, about what it says about the life that is in the womb, about what it says about Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation. Find a church like that that believes this book. Begin to take your family and to teach them the truth about God, and to begin to, in your family, hear God. There's no greater protection for your kids than raising them in the fear of God. Friend, we've kept so far away from the things of God. Again, we live in an atheistic, post-Christian Scotland. A Scotland that turned its back on God, but you've got names like Mary, Elizabeth, James, John, Matthew, Paul, Bible names. Why? Because this nation was a Christian nation. The heritage of this nation was that, like, unlike any other nation, it stood for God and loved God and feared God. And yet, in this day, this nation is so far from God that our young people today only ever hear the name of Jesus Christ as a curse word that is in the sports media or things like that.
I wish I had the courage and the
God is a great God, and He's a gracious God. A lot of people say, you know, why is God against me? Listen, God is against our sin. Our sin separates us from God. Our sin put Jesus Christ on the cross and crucified Him. It's no wonder today that He hates homosexuality, that He hates lesbianism, that He hates fornication, that He hates lies, that He hates drunkenness, that He hates drugs, that He hates the wickedness and the defilement that's in the heart of an atheist that says to him, there is no God. All those things are sin. They separate us from our Creator. They separate us from our Designer. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to reconcile us to Himself. And think about it. Our sin takes that away. It's a wonder He hates our sin. So I'll tell you this. He loves the sinner. The Bible says, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Seriously, for a righteous man would one die? But God commended His love toward us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friends, He made the way, the only way for us to be forgiven. It's a narrow way, but it's narrow because of our pride. It's narrow because we're so full of ourselves. We're so arrogant. We're so conceited. We think we've got it. We know it. You know, and that we're right and God's wrong. Listen, for us to come to faith, we've got to be willing to say to God, God, you are right. I am wrong. Please forgive me. We've got to be willing to bow the knee before the Almighty God and say, God, I don't understand why you love me so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sin. But God, I say to you, thank you. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I praise you for your holiness. God, I'm so unworthy as a sinner to come before you. But God, just as I am, I come. There's an awesome hymn in the hymnal that is just those words. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. Friend, it's not us becoming righteous to come to God. It's not us making our life good so God will accept us. It's us coming to God as we are, as sinners, recognizing our sin, bowing the knee before God and saying, God, I'm so unworthy of your love. I'm so unworthy of your mercy. I'm so unworthy of your grace and your goodness. But God, I take the gift that you give through the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that died for me, and I receive that today. Friend, you can get saved today. There are people that will trust Christ today. Praise God. Friends, you could be one of those that would look at the cross and understand that when the Savior died, He paid the price for your sin. That His blood was shed
so that you could be forgiven, that you can understand the love of God in Christ Jesus that says to you today, look, I stand ready to meet your needs. Friends, when Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, the message of the angels to the shepherds was, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. But it speaks about great joy to all people. It speaks about great hope and great delight. And the reason is this. Jesus Christ coming showed that God had finally sent the sacrifice for our sin. Jesus Christ. Friend, do you know the Son of God today? Has there ever been a time in your life that you repented of your sin and put your faith in Jesus? Where you bowed the knee, not to drugs, drink, alcohol, immorality, things like that, that you're enslaved to maybe right now, but that you bowed the knee to God, that you humbled your heart before God, that you received the Son of God as your Savior. Think about how hard you worked for your sin. Think about the hours that you put in to viewing pornography, the hours that you put in to your drink and your drugs. You worked so hard at work so you could pay for those things, that gambling ticket. I watch people, you know, buy things ahead of me in the queue, and they're buying their gambling ticket, they're buying their cigarettes, they're buying their alcohol, they're spending like 60 pounds on it. They're just throwing away their money. Think about how hard you're working for your sin. And then think about how little you do to find God. How little you're trying to look to your Creator, the God that made you, the God that gave you life, the God that sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sin, the God that gave you a book that testifies to you everything that you need to know to come to faith in what He did as He died on the cross. So many people today, they do everything for their junk, their drink, their cigarettes, their mates, the pub scenes, and all the wickedness that's in their life. They bow down to it, they're enslaved to it, but they do nothing to seek after God. Friend, don't be like that person. Be somebody that decides to do something with your life.